I'm Dr. Trish Murray. I am an osteopathic medical doctor and have been practicing medicine for 15 years in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. I started out as a primary care physician, and then I went on to specialize in non-surgical orthopedics and osteopathic manipulative medicine. But over the years, I realized more and more that the underlying inflammation, toxicity, and autoimmunity that people are suffering with are the root cause to most health problems. So, I also went on to become a specialist in functional medicine. My website is www.tmurraywellness.com, and I encourage you to go to my website. There is a great deal of free information because my mission is to empower you to optimize your own health through education, community, and support. Welcome to today's podcast, and the topic for today is actually a functional medicine foundational concept, and it's called the 5R approach to optimal gut health. You see, so much of diseases, particularly in the chronic disease spectrum, are caused by the fact that our gastrointestinal system, our gut, is not functioning properly. And as a result of that dysfunction, abnormal or toxic or dangerous, stranger danger things get into our body from our gastrointestinal tract that are not supposed to. So the first thing we have to understand is, you know, our gut system or our gastrointestinal system, like, how does it work and what is it? Well, first of all, if you think about it, you take anything from the outside world and you put it in your mouth and you chew it and you swallow it, or it's a liquid and you take it in your mouth and you swallow it, that is taking something from the outside world and put it inside of you. However, what you need to understand is that there is a tube that runs from your mouth to your anus, your poop chute, that is a system. And it is the organ system of your gastrointestinal system. And it is a tube, essentially, a very long tube. So when you swallow, the food or the liquid goes down your esophagus, and that is a tube. And then it goes into a little bigger area called the stomach. And your stomach is meant to have an extremely acidic environment because the acid in the stomach is meant to break down proteins and start to break down the foods, not from their clumps, if you will, into their tiny chemical entities like vitamins, minerals, or phytonutrients. And then from the stomach, the food and the chyme, it's called, actually it becomes more liquefied, and it moves into the upper small intestine. But the small intestine, folks, is a very long tube, a very long hose. It's got the surface area of a tennis court that's all wrapped up and balled up as this big, you know, as you would take your garden hose and wrap it around, you know, one of those circular things to keep it on the side of your house or on one of those things with the wheels that you wrap it around. In our gut, it doesn't sit so nicely wrapped up, but imagine your hose sitting all wound up and not so nicely organized, and it sits in our gut. And the upper intestine is connected or has another organ called the pancreas and also the liver and the gallbladder that put chemicals into the intestine that continue the digestive process. And so digestive enzymes are important to come into the intestine to help continue the breakdown of the foods. And bile helps things move along and helps to break down fats. So all of these parts, but they all connect to this hose that runs through our system. And then the hose turns into the colon or the large intestine, and that's lower. And then as the colon turns into what's called the rectum, which is actually the, you know, the poop bag, and then you poop out items and you poop out the waste. And the waste is what you don't want to get into your body. You only want your body to absorb from the inner lumen or the inner circular area inside the walls of the hose to absorb the vitamins, the minerals, the nutrients, and the phytonutrients. The waste stuff that's not good for you should stay inside the lumen or inside the inner walls of the hose. So that's how the gut works. Now, why focus on the gut, and why is it so foundationally important to your health? Well, first of all, the gut produces 75% of the neurotransmitters in your body. Now, neurotransmitters are the signal chemicals that send messages from one nerve to another to tell the nerves how to work. And folks, your nerves are your brain. So it's humongous that you need to have healthy neurotransmitters. And again, 75% of them are created or initiated from your gut. One of the major ones is, for example, serotonin. Serotonin, folks, is extremely related to depression in particular and also anxiety. If someone has an imbalance in their serotonin, for example, many people are put on a prescription medicine called an SSRI. Well, that stands for selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So you notice that's a primary medicine that many, many people diagnosed with depression or even anxiety may be on. And so this is showing you, and serotonin is predominantly produced, folks, guess where? In your gut. The gut also contains greater than 60%, and it's probably more like 70 to 80% of your immune system. Right behind the wall of your gut sits the majority of your immune system. So if the wall of your gut, the wall of your hose, is not intact, and it is not acting appropriately as an appropriate barrier, and you have something called leaky gut, then things are getting past that wall or past that barrier that aren't supposed to, and therefore your immune system is overreacting to things because it's facing things that are dangerous or stranger to it. Now, a whole nother reason why I focus on the gut is, folks, 70% of Americans, that's a lot, have gastrointestinal-related symptoms or disease. So it's pretty obvious that the gut is a foundational part of chronic disease processes. Normalizing gut function can affect clinical outcomes across all disease spectrums. You may say, well, I don't have gut problems. I don't have constipation. I don't have bloating. I don't have diarrhea. Well, I don't have abdominal pain. Well, I hate to tell you, that doesn't eliminate you from being possibly having leaky gut or problems with your gut, because neurological disease processes, cardiovascular or heart-related problems start in the gut. I've already brought up depression and anxiety. So you notice many disease processes actually start with this foundational dysfunction in our gut or our gastrointestinal system. Now, another huge concept that people must understand is that we live in a symbiotic relationship with bacteria. You know, we have been taught over the last 50 years, oh my God, antibiotic soap, antibiotic shampoo, antibiotic creams, don't let bugs on us. Well, I hate to tell you, but that's really been the wrong idea. I mean, there are, yes, bad bugs, and yes, there are good bugs, and we don't want bad bugs, you know, getting in because, yes, they can cause infection. But folks, our gut in particular, but other parts of our body, our skin, our eyes, our sinuses, maintain an enormous amount of bacteria and viruses and fungi. And the idea is that the genome or the amount of genes that the bacteria in our microbiome, the ones that are supposed to be living in a symbiotic relationship with us, have, is actually 100 to 150 times greater than the human genome. We humans only have about somewhere between 22,000 genes in our genetic genome. But the bacteria that live in us that we need in order to survive or we'd be dead can contain 100 to 150 times greater amounts of genes than we do. So an intact intestinal barrier is therefore critical to normal physiologic function and prevention of disease. That's actually a quote from the American Journal of Pathology from guess how far back, December of 2006. So these are not new ideas. Now, folks, if you listen to my talks and so forth, I sort of focus on the idea of inflammation and autoimmunity a lot. And inflammation and autoimmunity, folks, is really the aspect of a foundational cause of most chronic diseases. But where does the oversensitivity of your immune system get initiated? And where does this hypersensitivity come from? It comes from your gut and the interplay between your environmental triggers and your barriers, and particularly the barrier of your gut. So the other part you have to understand, folks, is I took you through the gastrointestinal system, and there's many stages to it. So first of all, when you put something in your mouth, you need to chew it. And the chewing is called mastication. And the idea is if you don't chew your food enough and you don't start the digestive process already in your mouth, then that's going to give more work for your stomach and your liver and your pancreas and everything else. So you need to chew your food. The next thing is when you get down to your stomach, if you're not producing enough acid, particularly hydrochloric acid, then you're going to have a problem. And it's going to put you at risk for more allergies, more inflammation, more autoimmunity, because your immune system reacts, folks, to proteins in particular. It looks at all proteins that ever comes into the environment, and if it doesn't recognize a protein, then it's going to react to try to destroy it because it looks at it as dangerous. And so if you have enough hydrochloric acid in your stomach and you break the proteins in the meats and the nuts and the different animal products that have protein and the beans that you eat and you break them down enough, down to their elemental amino acids, which are the building blocks of proteins, then you will have less reaction from your immune system and less allergy. So the gut, and particularly the stomach, must have enough acid. And then, as I said before, from the stomach, you go into the upper small intestine. But the pancreas must be giving enough enzymes into the hose in order to continue to break down the carbohydrates, the proteins, and also the fats. And then also another organ system we discussed already, which was the liver and the gallbladder, putting bile into the small intestine. And bile, again, helps to move along the chyme and the stuff that you're trying to break down, but it also breaks down the fats. So these are extremely important to make sure that the function of your stomach, the function of your pancreas, the function of your gallbladder, the function of your liver, are all producing enough of these substances to help digest your food properly. And then as the food keeps moving down, the chyme, it's called, as it's broken down and broken down more and more, gets down into the lower small intestine. That is where we get into the concept called leaky gut. With leaky gut, the idea is that you have one layer of cells that's called the epithelium, and it's the wall of the hose we've been talking about. And folks, that hose, however, is not very thick. It is only one cell layer thick. So you only have one cell sitting next to one other cell, sitting next to one other cell that creates your fort, that creates the walls of your fort, that is supposed to keep the outside world inside the hose and only allow nutritional things that are good for you to cross through those cells and get absorbed. Now, the other thing is that those cells have these finger-like projections that are called villi that stick out into the lumen or the inside of the hose. And that increases the surface area of the cells and allows for more absorption, again, of positive things. So this all is extremely important. The other thing is that these cells must have tight, tight junctions, which means there should not be a gap between one epithelial cell and the one that's next to it. They should have their arms linked and their bodies tight, tight, tight next to each other. And when you hear the term leaky gut, what that means is that the wall of your hose has gaps between the cells, which means they're leaky, and they're allowing larger particles than these elemental things to get absorbed and to get through the gaps. And the villi, the finger-like projections, have been damaged. And so you can't absorb things like you should. And it is this concept of leaky gut that is a problem as you get down into the lower small intestine. And guess what I've already said? Guess what sits behind the smaller low intestine? Right behind the wall sits 70-80% of your immune system. And if things get through there that aren't supposed to, your body is going to react. Now, as we go then further down into your colon, that is where the majority of the bacteria live, that we live in a symbiotic relationship with. And again, there are good bacteria and there are bad bacteria. And you want the good gang running your neighborhood. You do not want a bad gang gaining control of your colon, or multiple bad gang. Now, there should be a big variety of bugs that live in your colon, different species and different families and all that kind of thing. But you want the good guys, again, and the good families and the good communities running your neighborhood. Particularly, I mean, everywhere on your body. I mean, your gastrointestinal tract is only one area. Your skin, your sinuses, your eyes, your ears, your lungs, and your nails all have bacteria. And when the bacteria become imbalanced, or you have a poor, the bad guys are in the majority, basically. When the bad guys are in the majority and the good guys are being, you know, pushed out, if you will, or are less populated, that is called dysbiosis, meaning there is an imbalance in the bacteria and of your microbiome. And let's talk about a minute of what can cause dysbiosis. Well, the things that can cause dysbiosis, folks, is nutrient insufficiencies. So again, back to leaky gut. If you are not absorbing the appropriate nutrients, or if you are eating a diet that is poor in nutritional value, then of course you're going to cause dysbiosis because you're not feeding your bacteria properly. Medications can cause dysbiosis, particularly NSAIDs. NSAIDs are anti-inflammatory medications. So if you are someone who's constantly taking aspirin or Advil or Motrin or Aleve, and I hate to tell you, but you're leading yourself down a problem and can cause leaky gut as well as dysbiosis. Antacids are another problem. We are supposed to have an extremely acidic environment in our stomach. If we block that by taking antacids, that can lead us down a path towards more dysbiosis and more leaky gut. It's pretty obvious that antibiotics, you only want to take them when you absolutely have to, because if you take them all the time, or you've been put on them over and over and over again, and particularly as a child or your children, it's going to destroy and kill the good bacteria and allow the bad bacteria to become more populated. Dysbiosis can be also caused by infections. When, again, the bad bugs are winning the neighborhood and they make you sick, then that could even promote more bad bugs. So viruses like mononucleosis, or which is Epstein-Barr virus, or bacteria like Lyme or other bacterias, obviously candida, which is a bad yeast, and also, of course, parasites. Another thing that can cause dysbiosis is alcohol. alcohol throws off the bugs in your colon and in your gastrointestinal tract. Another thing that will cause dysbiosis is either food allergies or food sensitivities. Now, food allergies, most people know what they are immediately because an allergy causes an immediate reaction. But what many people don't know is the foods they're sensitive to, because a food sensitivity does not necessarily cause an immediate reaction. You may not react to a food sensitivity because your immune system takes sometimes days to react for 2 days or 3 days. So you may not know what your food sensitivities are. And my program, which is called the Detox Plus program, which is in the shop of my website, can help you to identify your food triggers. Another thing that can cause dysbiosis is emotional or psychological stress. Stress throws off the neurotransmitters. Stress throws off the acid environment of your stomach. Stress allows the poor bugs to populate more prominently. Another is to decrease the gastrointestinal function upstream, which we talked about already, the gallbladder, the liver, the stomach, the pancreas. So, signs that you, how do you know if you have leaky gut? Well, first of all, if you have digestive issues like constipation, bloating, diarrhea, gas, or you've been diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome or a inflammatory bowel disease like Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, then you absolutely have dysfunction of your gastrointestinal tract and most likely leaky gut. If you have sensitivities to many foods, you know that when you eat multiple things like dairy or gluten or nightshade vegetables or other foods, that you have a reaction and you've noticed that, and it seems to be many different foods, then you definitely have leaky gut. If you have skin rashes, hives, eczema, psoriasis, or multiple skin problems, you most likely, this is being caused by leaky gut and the fact that your immune system is constantly reacting to things that you are eating. Next, if you have been diagnosed with a definitive autoimmune disease, anywhere from rheumatoid arthritis to Crohn's disease to celiac disease to Lyme arthritis to Hashimoto's thyroiditis to Graves' disease, every single autoimmune disease has an underlying issue with leaky gut. If you have chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia, you most likely have leaky gut. If you have allergies or asthma, you most likely have leaky gut. If you have aches, pains, chronic pain, or arthritis, even osteoarthritis, you most likely have been dealing with leaky gut for a very long time. So the potential causes of leaky gut are, first of all, of course, dysbiosis, an imbalance of the wrong bacteria running the neighborhood of your gastrointestinal tract. Again, over alcohol consumption. Typically, the rule is women, actually, sorry, ladies, but we don't tolerate alcohol even as well as men do. So really, the recommendation is one alcoholic beverage per day for women and two for men. So they get a couple and we get one, but the bottom line is alcohol consumption above that can cause leaky gut. As we said, anti-inflammatory medications can cause it. Advil, Motrin, Aleve, if you're taking that multiple times a week or every day, then that's a problem. Food sensitivities, environmental toxins, low fiber, highly processed foods, boxed foods. If you're eating all your diet out of a box, folks, you absolutely have leaky gut. If you have low stomach acid, if you have low digestive enzymes, if you have chronic stress, if you have chronic constipation, if you have multiple intestinal infections, if you have an autoimmune disease, you most likely have leaky gut. Now, the point is I've kind of presented now so far sort of the picture of the problem. So now let's talk about how to fix it with, again, this foundational functional medicine concept of the 5R approach to optimal gut health. And this optimal gut health concept is going to have five things and five R's. So remove is number one, replace is number two, re-inoculate is number three, repair is number four, and rebalance is number five. So let's talk about each one of these and talk about what you should do. So first of all, the concept of remove. Well, first of all, you must remove the foods that you are either allergic or sensitive or intolerant to. And these are all terms I'll have to do another podcast to explain the difference between. But the bottom line is you've got to remove the foods that are causing the problem. And I have a course on my website that is called the Detox Plus Program. It is a 5 or 6 weeks program that has a guidebook and it has lectures. And I strongly recommend you do this program if you think you may have leaky gut, as I've talked about and it defined what that is. Because that program will put you on the road to healing your leaky gut by helping you identify what it is you need to remove from your diet and keep out of your diet in order to heal your gut. The next thing you want to remove, of course, is any of the pathologic bugs. The candida, which is the bad yeast, or the bad bacteria, or obviously if you have parasites. Now, this is individualized, and there may have to be stool testing done if you're having a big problem. And prescription medications might possibly be needed to eradicate the pathologic bugs and remove them. However, there are also antimicrobial herbs that can be used, like caprylic acid or oregano oil or things like that. But this, you should most likely have an appointment where you're working with a functional medicine provider to help you identify if you do have bad bugs that need to be eradicated. The other thing you're going to want to remove is any environmental pollutants. Again, if you're drinking too much alcohol, you need to stop. The other thing is there's a lot of chemicals in our environment, in cosmetics, in soaps, in shampoos, and you need to be using clean products and not polluting yourself with bad ones. One of the best places you can go to educate yourself on how to find clean products is called the Environmental Working Group, the EWG. And you can Google the Environmental Working Group, or you can go to an EWG.com, and you will find an enormous amount of educational material on how to remove bad, high chemical products from your life and fill your life with more clean, less toxic products. And then, of course, the other thing you need to try and remove from your life as much as possible, or at least decrease it and balance it, of course, is stress. Now, let's go on to the next R. Once you've removed the toxic things, you now need to also replace the supplements with foods that are going to help you have your upper gastrointestinal tract and your colon and the bugs that live there function as optimally as possible. So first of all, for the stomach, sometimes we need to take, yes, hydrochloric acid, and there's a supplement out there that's called betaine HCL. And many people take that whenever you eat particularly a high protein food, such as at a definitive meal, like at lunch or dinner or breakfast. When you take in a meal that has a significant amount of protein in it, you then would take some betaine HCL, and that is adding hydrochloric acid to your stomach so you can break the proteins down better. Another thing you can do is drink what I call the stomach acid elixir, which actually is take apple cider vinegar, preferably organic apple cider vinegar with the mother in it, and put about a tablespoon in a 10-ounce glass, add a little bit of juice, maybe a third of the glass of juice, and the rest water, so that it is a diluted juice and apple cider vinegar mixture, and you drink that while you are preparing your meals, and the apple cider vinegar will increase your stomach acid and help digest your foods. The other thing you're going to want to replace is your pancreatic enzymes. The different enzymes can be taken as supplements with meals, again, that are going to start breaking down the carbohydrates, the fats, and the proteins. Another thing you can take as a supplement is bile salts. One example is to take ox bile. Ox bile is something that's going to break down your fats better and help mobilize the foods forward. If you have a lot of constipation, then ox bile and pancreatic enzymes and betaine HCL is something you're going to want to replace into your GI tract. And finally, the other thing you're going to want to replace is to support transit and feed the good bugs in your colon by eating a lot of fiber. High fibrous foods like prebiotics. Some examples of high fibrous foods and prebiotics that are going to feed the bacteria in your colon are asparagus, garlic, onions, shallots, leeks, dandelion greens, oatmeal, Jerusalem artichokes, chicory root. These are all examples. You see, folks, when we eat fiber, we actually cannot digest it. The human body does not digest fiber well. But when it goes down into your colon and you have the right bacteria living there, the bacteria digest the fiber for us. And that's why they're so important to us. But then also, when they digest the fiber, the product that's produced when they digest it, the short-chain fatty acids they produce, actually feed the cells that are our cells that line the hose that produces our intestines and our colon. So you notice there's an example of the symbiotic relationship we live in. So we absolutely need to replace the stomach acid, the pancreatic enzymes, the bile salts, and the fiber. The next R is the re-inoculate R. And this means we are going to reintroduce desirable GI bugs. We need the good bugs, and we want them to be winning the neighborhood. So we're going to send as many good bugs in with, for example, probiotics. Now, probiotics, folks, are out there. Yes, you can go to the local pharmacy or the local health food store and buy probiotics that are in a bottle, or a liquid that you're going to drink. And there are certain families of bacteria you want to look for in those probiotics. There's bifidobacteria, there's lactobacillus, and there's Saccharomyces boulardii. These are big, long words, but basically these are the ones that, particularly bifidobacteria and lactobacillus, that are in all the probiotics. But what I want you to understand is that to eat a homemade, particularly homemade, probiotic food is going to give you more variety of good bacteria than anything you could buy off a shelf in any store, whether it's a commercial drink or whether it's capsules you buy at the pharmacy. So probiotic foods contain the good bacteria that help our digestive system and control the growth of harmful bacteria. So examples of foods that you could be looking into to learn how to make would be yogurt, kefir, sauerkraut, kimchi, tempeh, aged cheeses, for example. You also could be eating kombucha as well. Now, the other way to re-inoculate the good bugs, besides just feeding your gastrointestinal tract good bugs, is prebiotics. Prebiotics, folks, are foods that are soluble fibers. And there are many different soluble fiber foods. Inulin, for example, is something you can take, again, as a supplement that you can buy at a pharmacy or at a local food store, and you can take as a pill. But also, remember the list I gave a moment ago, asparagus, bananas, garlic, oatmeal, legumes, chicory root, leeks, shallots, onions, dandelion greens. These are all chia seeds. These are all prebiotic foods, apples, flax seeds, chia seeds, beans. These are all prebiotic foods. So you want to re-inoculate your colon with the right bugs. And you want to do that by using prebiotics and probiotics. For folks who are members of my Discover Health membership, I have a whole series of videos I call Dr. Trisha's Dishes. And in that series, I do these short, maybe 10-minute long or less, videos where I teach you how to make kefir, how to make sauerkraut, how to make kombucha in these probiotic foods. So, or how to make chia pudding, which is a prebiotic food. So I would also recommend you consider becoming a member of Discover Health. It is an annual membership, and you can learn from my materials or get out there on the internet and search for the material to learn how to make these foods. The next R is repair. We've got to have the appropriate nutritional support in order to repair and heal and regenerate this leaky gut and regenerate the finger-like villi and heal the leaky area between the gaps between the lining of your gut and make the tight junction strong again. And there are many nutrients you could be considering. But again, with a food, one of the biggest ones I'd put at the top of the list, folks, is something called bone broth. Whenever you eat a chicken or a turkey, take that carcass, put it in your crock pot, fill the crock pot with water, turn it on high overnight and let it simmer, and the next day, folks, you have bone broth. And bone broth is one of the most healing things for your lining, the mucosa of your gastrointestinal tract, and for the epithelial cells of your gastrointestinal tract. You would want to be drinking and eating soups that you make from this bone broth, or even just drinking a 8 to 8 ounce cup, like a coffee cup, full of bone broth once or twice a day. The other thing you want to do to repair your GI tract is take different vitamins. Vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin D are all, and vitamin E are all vitamins that would promote healing of the lining of the hose of your gut. A mineral, particularly zinc. Most Americans are deficient in zinc, and so you're definitely going to want to consider to supplement with zinc. Another thing that you want to do is promote and heal and repair the mucous membrane that of your GI tract that sits just above and on the villi and along the wall. L-glutamine is a amino acid, particularly the L form, L-glutamine, at as much as 1,000 milligrams a day can help heal the lining of your gut. Aloe is something people are familiar with that can help repair the mucosa of your gut. And another one is slippery elm. Slippery elm it comes from a bark of a tree. And it can be ground or it can be taken in capsules. And the point is you can put some in a smoothie or you could make a little water, heat it up and put it in your oatmeal. Or you can take it as a capsule. But slippery elm is another product that will help heal your mucous membranes. Antioxidants are always going to be beneficial for your repair and your healing. Green tea or vitamin C or other antioxidants. Anti-inflammatories. If you have an inflammatory disease process, you need to be on fish oil. EPA and DHA in a 2-to-1 ratio usually of EPA to DHA for inflammation. And then turmeric or curcumin is a spice, but you can take it in a capsule or you can just cook with it, or you could put it on your foods, or you could put it in your smoothies. And of course, another way to repair is to eat a lot of pre and probiotic foods. And finally, the last and fifth R is rebalance. We've got to rebalance our nervous system. And what's called the enteric nervous system has been called the second brain. And the enteric nervous system, the word enteric means your gut. Your gut nervous system, folks, is a second brain in your body. Your gut has its own nervous system. And that nervous system causes your gut to move foods through the hose by something called peristalsis. Your nervous system of your gut also tells your pancreas to secrete the enzymes. And I already alluded to earlier in this podcast about the neurotransmitters, particularly serotonin, but also dopamine. The other thing is, folks, you've got to reduce your stress. So you must be sure to have some form of practice in your life every day to help you relax and reduce your stress. Breathing, meditation, exercise, movement, qigong, yoga, all of these things, try different ones, find out what fits best for you in your life, and spend at least 5 to 10 minutes every day of your life doing something as a practice to reduce your stress. So that's pretty much the podcast for today, folks. And in summary, you're going to want to remove the bad foods, the bad bugs, the bad toxins, and the bad stress. You're going to want to replace your stomach acid with the stomach acid elixir or with betaine HCL. You're going to want to increase or improve your pancreatic enzymes, and you're going to want to eat high-fiber foods. You're going to want to re-inoculate the good bugs into your colon by eating probiotic foods and prebiotic foods. You're going to want to repair the lining and the epithelial cells of your GI tract with bone broth, L-glutamine, aloe, slippery elm, antioxidants, anti-inflammatory fish oil, bone broth number one. And finally, number five, you're going to want to rebalance your nervous system. You have your primary nervous system of your brain, but your gut has its own nervous system. And so for both of them, and for your own cognitive abilities, you must have a practice every day of a minimum of 5 minutes and upwards of 10 to 15 of breathing, meditating, moving. So I hope this has helped. And I wish everyone health and happiness and healing of your guts. So I hope this podcast has empowered you to optimize your health, because that truly is my mission, to help educate people so that you can learn more and more how to find your way to health and wellness and feel as optimally healthy as you possibly can. Please go to my website and learn much more about the information you need and about the services we offer at my office. It's www.tmurraywellness.com. I also have my own curriculum or program I call the DENT curriculum. That's DENT, which is an acronym for diet and detox, exercise, nutrition, and treatment. And I offer weekend conferences where anyone in the world can come and learn about how to put a dent in your chronic disease processes through exactly that: diet, detox, exercise, nutrition, and treatment. So again, please go to my website, tmurraywellness.com, or give my office a call at 603-447-3112 and learn more.